Because he lives, we have the answer to two real important questions for our lives. The first question that all of us will ask, maybe you've already asked it, probably most of us have already asked this question, when my loved ones die, will I be able to live? Will I be able to go on when I lose my loved ones? We are all afraid of death with the grief aspect to it. All of us are. We struggle with it. We're concerned about it. And I'm sure that if you have not lost a loved one yet, it's in your mind. Will you be able to live beyond the death of someone you really love? How difficult will the grief be? Grief is painful. Grief is difficult. Grief takes your heart out. Grief is like an everyday punch in the stomach that continually happens. Grief plays tricks with your mind. It plays tricks with your heart. Grief causes us many times to question our faith, to question what we understand to be true in the Bible. It's a very difficult thing. And the truth of the matter is, God, because of the fall, is allowing us to all experience death. You're seeing your loved ones grow older, get weaker. You're seeing loved ones deteriorate before your eyes. You remember when they were younger that they had lots of energy, they had lots of physical strength, and as time goes on, this old world, the gravity, the life, all that happens, the cells begin to deteriorate and die, and we all weaken, and we're reminded of it. And so we're always thinking about, when I lose my mom and dad, when I lose my family member, when I lose someone really important to me, will I be able to live beyond that death? Will grief capture me and entrap me? When we lose someone that we really love, there is shock, there's denial, there's anger. Oftentimes there's resentment and bitterness. We're mad at God. Sometimes we're mad at the person because they've left us. It's a real thing for us. It's a struggle. And then we go back and forth with all those different symptoms of grieving, of hurt, of pain. And then we start beginning to accept the reality of the loss, and we go forward and then we go back. We go forward and then we go back. It's a real hard thing. The second question that the resurrection of Jesus Christ answers for us is this: will we see our loved ones again? Will we see our loved ones again? That's a good question, isn't it? We want to know that. We don't know the answer to that. Well, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I think, answers those two real important questions. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we're going to start in verse 13, and we're going to look at 13 through verse 18. Paul says to the Thessalonians, "Now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died." There you go. He's starting to deal with those two questions. We want you to know, brothers and sisters. So Paul has already experienced what it's like to lose close ones. He's been through it. They have lost dear friends. They have lost dear friends because of Jesus being alive, of the preaching the gospel. It's been a very difficult life already for Paul. Paul knows what it's like to lose a loved one. And he knows the struggle that people have with those two questions. Can I live beyond the grief? Can I live beyond the death, the loss of a loved one? I wish I would have went instead of them. That's how real that pain is. And will I see my loved ones when I die? And Paul wants us to know. The Lord wants us to know. This is a word from the Lord. "And now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died." First thing. Now, This is for believers. The hard, cold truth is, I do not have any hope for unbelievers. None. That's a very difficult thing. But I have no hope for an unbeliever. We only have hope for believers. It would be disingenuous. It would be just, it would be the worst scoundrel I can think of for me to be able to look at grieving people eye to eye and say to them who are unbelieving or who are grieving the loss of an unbelieving loved one and give them false hope. I was really reminiscing this morning. I got up really early and I was on my back porch and I was watching the light come on. You know, it was beautiful, beautiful morning. And man, I don't know why. I don't know if the Lord was doing this for me or what was going on, but I just had a flood of memories of all the Easters that I've experienced. Now, I don't remember every single detail of any of them. I remember the places. I don't really remember any of the events. But I remembered being the pastor or the chaplain at the West Texas Boys Ranch on Easter Sunday. And I thought about my time at the Boys Ranch when I was really, really pretty and really, really young and I had lots of hair. I remember Susan and I and the two little ones being at Skyline Baptist Church in Lubbock. I remember Easter Sunday there. I remember how the wind would blow and how it was always cold during Easter in Lubbock. I remembered our time in San Angelo, 8, 9 years at Lindell Avenue Baptist Church and Edmond Boulevard when that transition happened. And some of the people's faces flooded my mind. Many who are gone now. Many who I did the funeral of. And I just had lots of memories. And I thought back to when I was here, the pastor of First Baptist Aledo. I remember preaching over there on Easter Sundays in the gymnasium. Remember preaching here. Remember some of the sermons that I preached here on Easter Sunday. I remember the infamous Creaster sermon. If any of y'all remember that. Hallelujah. And I just started remembering since we've been Church at the Crossing. And my mind shifted to funerals. And I was thinking about it. I've been doing this for 36 years now. I wonder how many funerals I've participated in. How many funerals have I actually preached at? It has to be in the hundreds. It's probably 400 or 500, I'm sure, by now in these years. Maybe more. I don't know. I know that if you included those I've attended, the number is greater than that. And I'm always reminded of this truth when it comes to a funeral. Man, it is very difficult to look at people and lie to them at a funeral. There is, at times, a real burden to give them something that you know is not true, to give them false hope, to give them something that they can hold on to that is not there. And also for the believers who have passed away, if it were not true that Jesus is alive, I know that I would not be a pastor anymore because I couldn't live with the funerals that I would stand and say, because Jesus is alive, we have hope. Because Jesus is alive, we see our loved ones again. Because Jesus is alive, He has defeated death. Because Jesus is alive, there's no sting in death. I know that I couldn't do that over and over and over and look at people in the eye. I just couldn't do it. And so for me, Jesus is alive is a reality. It's a truth. I'm certain that He's alive. And for me, in my world, it was just a reminder for me that the funeral process, speaking at funerals, looking in people's eyes and giving a word from the Lord that you believe in, that you're hoping in, that you're knowing is certain and true, is crucial to survival as a person. And so when we look at this scripture, I think Paul is somehow or another, through the Holy Spirit, I think that he is wrestling with some of those questions and issues. The first thing he says is, for believers who have died, I want you to know the truth. I want you to know the way it is. I want you to know what happens to believers who have died. And he gives a reason, so you will not grieve like people who have no hope. There you go. Oh man, grieving without hope is a horrible thing. Grieving without hope is difficult. If people are going to be able to live beyond the death of a loved one for an unbelieving world, they've got to apply self-discipline. They've got to apply mental toughness. They've got to go on. They've got to develop for themselves some understandings and the theologies. Even if they're unbelieving, even if they're an atheist, they've got to develop some kind of theology, we would call it, to be able to handle eternity or life after someone dies in the unbelieving world. You come up with things like, well, we just cease to exist. People just don't exist anymore. That's all there is. You have memories. You cherish those memories. But that's all there is. And when we die, we just cease to exist. Another idea people come up with is, you know, I don't know if God's up there, but if God is up there, then this has got to be true that everyone goes to heaven. You got to do that. Because if we're going to talk about heaven, then we've got to talk about hell. You can't have heaven without hell. We can't believe in one part of the Bible and not believe in another. If the Bible is true, then we've got to have both of those. And so in order to survive, in order to make it through, you got to come up with some things that helps. Oh, just hold on to the memories. Man, that's a hard one. Because I know that memories will be good and they will help, but they're not enough when it comes to losing your loved ones. And Paul wants them to not grieve like people without hope. He wants them to grieve with hope. So here's the answer to that question. Because Jesus is alive, can we make it? The answer is yes, because Jesus is alive. We have hope. We have great assurance of eternity. This is not all there is. When we lose our loved ones, eternity begins for them. We have a short period of time by comparison to eternity here to live for the Lord, to do what we're responsible to do, to grieve with hope. When we're going through anger, we have hope with that. When we're going through a great deal of denial, we also have hope in that denial. When we go through times of anger, because Jesus is alive, we can have hope in that anger. And as time goes on, the graciousness and the sufficiency of the Lord will give us a new normal. Now, when we lose loved ones, it's never the same. It's not going to be the same. We're always going to remember. We're always going to hurt. Every event, every birthday, every celebration, we're reminded. We're reminded that we've lost our loved one. But in Jesus Christ, because He's alive, and because we have that promise and that assurance of the hope that He has provided for us, we can trust Him in that grieving process. So because Jesus is alive, the first answer to the question is, yep, you can make it. Yep, it's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. There's going to be lots of pain. There's going to be hurt. There's going to be tears. There's going to be sorrow. Some days you may not be able to just walk out of the house. It may take all the faith and all the strength and the power of the Lord to get you to engage in life. However, hope in the Lord. Don't grieve like those without hope. Paul knows what it's like for people to grieve without hope. And he lays it out there. And now we go on to the second question. that we all have, I'm sure. And he says, for since, in verse 14, we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died. That's a biggie there. He's going to bring back with him believers who have died. When Jesus returns, we have that promise. He's going to bring back with him the believers who have died. And then he says in verse 15, I mean, it's like he's really digging deep into that onion. He's really unpeeling it. He says, we tell you this directly from the Lord. Man, so get serious with this now. That's what he's saying. Listen to this. Get ready. This is directly from the Lord. We who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet him ahead of those who have died. Aha! There's going to be a reunion. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. First, the believers who have died will rise from the graves. Then together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so when Jesus returns, there's a reunion. Now, some people read in this a rapture. Some people read in this just the second coming of Christ. That's not what I'm talking about today. If you believe in the rapture, good. If you believe there's no rapture, good. But there's one thing here that's really, really certain. There is going to be one great happening when Jesus returns. When Jesus returns, there is going to be a commanding shout from heaven. All the world's going to hear it. It's going to be the voice of the archangel. He's going to just blow it out. It's going to be the trumpet call of God. And believers who have died. Now, I believe that when people die, their spirit goes with the Lord. But here we see some people say, well, this is soul sleep. I don't believe that. So I believe there's a resurrection of supernatural eternal bodies. And there is a great, great spiritual disturbance in the world. And there is a reuniting of the spirit and the body when Jesus returns. Now, the best thing of all, verse 17, then together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Now, listen to this. Then we will be with the Lord forever. Now, then, after Jesus returns, when will the great reunion take place? When Jesus returns. We, believers, will be with the Lord forever. Will you see your loved ones one day? Yes. We will have a great reunion when Jesus returns. We will be reunited. We will have one great celebration. Believers have hope. Will you see your loved ones one day? Believers, yes. So to the two great questions that all of us ask at one level or another, at one time or another, can I live after I've lost a loved one? Can I make it? Yes. Because Jesus is alive, we grieve with hope. Will we see our loved ones after they've died? Yes. We will be with the Lord forever. Now, he says in verse 18 here, so encourage each other with these words. Encourage each other with words. So just go through and look at these words here. Grieve with hope. Jesus died and was raised to life again. He is returning. He is coming back. And when he comes back, he's going to bring with those that have died before his return. He says this is directly from the Lord. We who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet those who have died before. It's going to be a joint. It's going to be a combination. It's going to be a happening. And Jesus is going to return with a great, great celebration. And that's going to happen. That's what we have in Jesus. Believers, we don't have to grieve without hope because Jesus is alive. Believers, listen, you will see your loved ones again. You can hope in that. You can know that. You can be assured of that. If Jesus is who the Bible says he is, if the Bible is real, if God is real, then that's the truth. That's what we have. When people pass away, I've begun to notice through the years, there's three different types of homes. The first one is the unbelieving home. There's no real thought of God. There may be levels of hope. Relatives come in and they say things like, you know, he's in a better place, when everyone doesn't understand that, or probably everyone doesn't even believe in that. And there's a great deal of turmoil. There's a great deal of sorrow. There's hopelessness. And I'm here to tell you, hopelessness is one of the worst things there is in life. Hopelessness. The grief is medicated often, medicated through spending money sometimes, medicated through different kinds of substances many times. Many go into a grief that they never recover from. Many, many unbelievers in our world are faced with the loss of a loved one, and it sends them into a spin, and they get trapped in grief. Real painful. Real painful. The second home is this. There's hope of salvation. Uncle Ed passes away. Memories start being shared, and preacher goes to the house, talk to him about the funeral going to have. And someone steps up and says, you know, Uncle Ed wasn't a church-going guy. Uncle Ed only went on special occasions. He'd go to church on Easter, go to church on Christmas sometimes. Mother's Day, never missed Mother's Day. Always had a flower for Mother, for his wife, and all those things. Uncle Ed's a great guy. I believe Uncle Ed's in heaven. Well, was there any kind of evidence for Uncle Ed? Tell me, what was his favorite verse? Well, I don't rightly know. You know, he didn't have a Bible. If he did, I never saw him reading it, really. Then someone else speaks up and says, let me tell you something, Pastor. When Ed was a child, he went to the Vacation Bible School, and I remember him walking up forward when they gave an invitation one time. I don't believe he was ever baptized, but I do believe that he went up to the front of the church. And if people chime in and says, I believe that happened. I believe I heard something about that. Yeah, I believe that's what happened. Yeah, I believe that. I believe that. And what's really taking place is hope against all hope. And I'm not condemning that thing. I'm saying I understand that thing. I mean, when our loved ones pass away and we're not sure about their salvation, we look in every spot to see whether or not there was some kind of encounter with Christ. Hopefully there was an encounter with Christ. Give me something to build my hope on is always the heart of that second home. And at the end of the day, if the truth is known, everyone goes home, and when they lay their head on their pillow for nighttime sleep, man, there is a real emptiness in their heart because they don't really know for sure. And then there's a third home. This is a home where the loved one that's passed away, no question, was a believer. No question. Openly confessed Christ. Read his Bible. Served the Lord. Was faithful to the Lord. Showed signs of fruit of repentance. acknowledge the Father, acknowledge the Son, live for God. And although there's great grief in that home, there is the assurance of knowing for sure about their loved one's eternity. Now, I'm here to tell you, from my perspective, the greatest gift you can give your family is that when you pass away, your family knows for sure about your salvation. That's the greatest gift you can give them. Now, the truth is, none of us have any guarantees about tomorrow. Life is but a vapor. Life is very, very fragile. We don't know. And we ought to just give our loved ones a gift. We know the Lord. We live for the Lord. There's evidence of the Holy Spirit in us. There's evidence that we believe. There's evidence that we've been born again. We are showing the fruit of repentance. And they see it and they know it. When that happens, your loved ones transition much more quickly into the new normal. They experience with great more volume and intensity that we are able to grieve with hope. So I want to challenge you with that question this morning. We're here celebrating Jesus alive. Is Jesus alive to you? Do you know Christ as your Savior? Have you believed in Him? Do you know Him? Does your family have the gift of knowing that when you pass away, that they'll go to that funeral home, or they'll go to that church, they'll go to that graveside, or whatever kind of deal you want, and they're going to hurt, and they're going to miss you, and they're going to be just grieving deep down, and it's going to be like they're hit in the head with a sledgehammer. However, when they put their heads on their pillow at night, they know where you are. You're in the presence of the Lord Jesus for all of eternity. Does your family have that gift? Does your family have that gift? If the Holy Spirit's calling you, tugging on your heart right now, I want to help you. I want to release you this morning. And if you would, if you just bow your head, everybody, and if you're that person that you have not given your family that gift, isn't it interesting that Christ has given us a gift of salvation? And when we receive Christ, we give ourselves a gift and we give our loved ones a gift. It's very simple. Just open up your heart to the Lord. There are no magic words, but you can say something like this. Father, I hear your calling right now. I sense the tugging of the Holy Spirit. I realize that I'm not prepared for eternity. And I know that you love me. I believe that you love me. I'm confessing with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. I am believing right now that God raised him from the dead. Father, you raised your Son from the dead for me. And I'm repenting of my sin. I'm asking for forgiveness of my sin. I'm asking, Lord, that you will set me free. Help me, Lord, to confess in such a way publicly to my family and friends. Help them to know for sure that I'm one of your children, that I'm your child, and I have the assurance of my salvation. Now, if you prayed that prayer, it doesn't stop here. You need to let people know. You need to follow through with being baptized. You need to get plugged in to a church that teaches the Scriptures. And you need to begin your Christian journey. And the first people you need to tell is your family today at lunch or in the car when you're leaving here. If you're that first group that I talk about, if your home is going to be that first home when you pass away, oh, reverse that today. if you are going to have that second home. I mean, after all, you went to church with your loved ones on Easter. That ought to count for something, should it? Not according to the Word of God. We have to know Him. We have to believe in Him. We have to be converted, born again. I'm not asking you to be converted to the church. I'm asking you to be converted to Him. Church deal will work itself out. Let your family know that when you pass away, they're going to be the third home. What a gift that is for your loved ones. Lord, may your Spirit work in each heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Ushers, please come forward.